He pointed to a wide expanse of rock that sloped back into the darkness on one side of the pool. Everywhere else, the walls rose straight out of the water. He pulled the boat over to the rock slope. The boat scraped bottom here. The water was shallow.
"I'll get out and see if this goes anywhere," said Lina. "I want to be on solid ground again anyway."
She handed Poppy to Dune and stood up. Holding a candle, she put one foot over the edge of the boat and into the cold water, and she waded ashore. The way did not look promising. The ground sloped upward, and the ceiling sloped downward. As she went farther back, she had to stoop. A few yards in, a tumbled heap of rocks blocked the way. She inched around them, turning sideways to squeeze through the narrow space, and crept forward, holding the candle out in front of her.
"This goes nowhere," she thought. "We're trapped."
But a few steps farther along, she found she could stand up straight again, and a few steps beyond that, she turned a corner, and suddenly the candlelight shone on a wide path with a high ceiling and a smooth floor. Lina gave a wild shout.
"Here it is," she cried. "It's here. There's a path."
Dune's voice came from far away. She couldn't tell what he was saying. She made her way back toward the boat, and when it came in sight, she yelled again,
"I found a path! A path!"
Dune scrambled out and waded ashore, carrying Poppy. He set her down, and then he and Lina took hold of the boat and hauled it as far as they could up the slope of rock. Poppy caught the excitement. She shouted gleefully, waving her fists like little clubs, and stomped around, glad to be on her feet again. She found a pebble and plunked it into the water, crowing happily at the splash it made.
"I want to see the path," said Dune. "Go up that way," Lina told him, "and around the pile of rocks. I'll stay here and take things out of the boat."
Dune went, taking another candle from the box in the boat. Lina sat Poppy down in a kind of nook formed by a roundish boulder and a hollow in the wall.
"Don't move from here," she said.
Then she pulled Dune's bundle from under the seat of the boat. It was damp, but not soaked. Maybe the food inside would still be all right. She was hungry all of a sudden. She'd had no dinner, she remembered. It must be the middle of the night by now, or maybe even morning again. She carried Dune's bundle ashore, along with the boxes of candles and matches, and as she set them down, Dune came back. His eyes were glowing, the reflection of a tiny flame dancing in each one.
"That's it for sure," he said. "We've made it."
Then his eyes shifted.
"What's Poppy got?"
he asked. Lina whipped around. In Poppy's hands was something dark and rectangular. It wasn't a stone. It was more like a packet of some kind. She was plucking and pulling at it. She lifted it to her mouth as if to tear it with her teeth, and Lina jumped to her feet.
"Stop!"
she shouted. Poppy, startled, dropped the packet and began to cry.
"It's all right. Never mind," Lina said,
retrieving what Poppy had been about to chew on.
"Come and have some dinner now. Hush, we're going to have dinner. I'm sure you're hungry."
In the light of Dune's candle, with Poppy squirming on Lina's lap, they examined Poppy's find. The packet was wrapped in slippery greenish material and bound up with a strap. It wasn't wrapped very well. It looked as if someone had bundled it up quickly. The material was loose and blotched with whitish mold. Lina edged the strap off carefully. It was partly rotten. On the end of it was a small square buckle covered with rust. She folded back the wrapping. Dune took a sharp breath.
"It's a book," he said.
He moved his candle closer, and Lina opened the brown cover. The pages inside had faint blue lines across them, and someone had written along these lines in slanted black letters, which were not neat like the writing in the library books, but sprawling, as if the writer had been in a hurry. Dune ran his finger under the first line.
"It says, they tell us we learn... No, leave. They tell us we leave tonight."
He looked up and met Lina's eyes.
"Leave," said Lina. From where?
From Ember?
Dune asked.
Could someone have come this way before us?
Or was it someone leaving the other city?
Dune looked down at the book again. He riffled through the pages. There were many of them.
Let's save it, said Lina. We'll read it when we get to the new city.
Dune nodded.
It'll be easier to see there.
So Lina wrapped up the book again and tied it securely into Dune's bundle. They sat on the rock shelf for a while, eating the food Dune had brought. The candles wedged in the boat still shone steadily, and their light was cozy, like lamplight. It made golden shapes on the still surface of the pond.
Dune said,
I saw the guards run after you. Tell me what happened.
Lina told him.
And what about Poppy? What did you tell Mrs. Murdo?
I told her the truth. At least, I hope it's the truth. I caught up with her on her way home after the singing. She'd seen the posters. She was terrified. But before she could ask questions, I just said she must give Poppy to me. I said I was taking her to safety. Because that's what I suddenly realized on the roof of the gathering hall, Dune. I'd been thinking before that I had to leave Poppy because she'd be safe with Mrs. Murdo. But when the lights went out, I suddenly knew. There is no safety in Ember. Not for long. Not for anyone. I couldn't leave her behind. Whatever happens to us now, it's better than what's going to happen there.
And did you explain all that to Mrs. Murdo?
No. I was in a terrible hurry to get to the pipeworks and meet you. And I knew I had to go while there were still crowds in the street, so it would be harder for the guards to see me. I just said I was taking Poppy to safety. Mrs. Murdo handed her over, but she sort of sputtered, where and why, and I said, you'll know in a few days. It's all right. And then I ran.
So you gave her the note then? Said Dune. The one meant for Clary?
Oh.
Lina stared at him, stricken.
The message to Clary.
She put her hand in her pocket and pulled out the crumpled piece of paper.
I forgot all about it. All I was thinking of was getting Poppy and getting to you.
So no one knows about the room full of bolts?
Lina just shook her head, her eyes wide.
How will we get back to tell them?
We can't.
Dune, said Lina, if we told people right away, even just a few people, if we hadn't decided to be grand and announce it at the singing...
I know, said Dune. But we didn't, that's all. We didn't tell, and now no one knows. I did leave a message for my father, though.
He told Lina about pinning his last-minute message to the kiosk in Selverton Square.
I said we'd found the way out and that it was in the pipeworks, but that's not much help.
Clary has seen the instructions, Lina said. She knows there's an egress. She might find it.
Or she might not.
There was nothing to be done about it, and so they put the supplies back into Dune's pillowcase and got ready to go. Lina used Dune's rope to make a leash for Poppy. She tied one end around Poppy's waist and the other around her own. She filled her pockets with packs of matches, and Dune put all the remaining candles in his sack in case they arrived in the new city at night. He filled his bottle with river water, lit a candle for himself and one for Lina, and thus equipped, they left the boat behind and crept up the rocky shelf to the path.